Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for July 17th, 2017. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with an article entitled Soothing Souls, VA Chaplains Tend to Vets' Spiritual Health by Mary Wyckoff. Danville. Healing of the spirit, as well as the body, takes place at the Veterans Affairs Ileana National Healthcare System. We want to help them, veterans, heal completely, not just bodily, but spiritually as well, said Thomas Mills, chief of the chaplain service since 2013. Five ministers make up the chaplain staff, and a Catholic priest also provides services. Combat veterans have been to places and seen things that have made an impact on their lives, Mills said, and some need counseling to deal with guilt or grief, for example. Other veterans simply need to talk or discuss spiritual issues. Veterans are given the option to use the chaplain services. If they say no, Mills says, we're here if you need us. Two veterans who volunteer with the chaplain service have positive things to say about the department. People come down needing to talk and get counseling, said Jonathan Burbage of Danville, a Navy vet who served from December 1998 to July 2005. I hear guys say all the time that it's helped them. There's a reward in seeing people grow spiritually and leaving their demons behind, said Burbage, who has dealt with his own demons. It's comforting to see them improve. Herman J. Young of Danville, a volunteer since 2008, summed up the chaplain service. It's excellent. It's kept me above water. Young, who served with the Marines in the 1970s, had suffered from depression. They can help you spiritually, with relationships, and with substance abuse and depression. They give quite a bit of counseling, he said. Veterans can make appointments on a regular basis or come when needed. The chaplain service offers many other services to veterans. One is the Warrior to Soulmate, which helps veterans and their partners work on their relationships through workshops and retreats. Mills said the free program is offered four times a year, two in Danville and two in other cities, such as Champaign, depending on where the participants live. The nine-hour training helps veterans improve their relationships with a spouse or partner, explaining that support is crucial to a vet's overall well-being. In addition, the chaplain's service makes reading material and CDs available. For example, there are displays of pamphlets set up at various sites across the VA, including one at the chaplain's service at the library in buildings 58 and 98, and in palliative care. A series of booklets called God Understands was provided by the American Bible Society. Those booklets are free to veterans. For those who have trouble with their eyesight, CDs on religious topics are available at no charge. Other items are free too, including dog tags with scriptures on them, crosses and crucifixes, Star of David, Book of Mormon, Bibles, Qurans, Crescent Moon, and other items special to a particular faith. All chaplain services are provided at no charge. Even at Sunday services, no collection is taken. Instead, a basket is available for those who want to make a donation. Otherwise, the chaplain service is funded through the National Chaplain Center. Also, sometimes people will make a bequest in their will with money going to the chaplain service. The chaplains also preside at funerals, again at no charge, and pastors from the community may use the chapel for a funeral at no charge. Besides meeting with veterans, chaplains keep busy with duties such as services on Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, Thanksgiving, Palm Sunday, Christmastide, Christmas Eve, and others. They also do a blessing of the hands ceremony for nursing staff, blessing of the bikes, and baptisms. A semi-annual remembrance service, April and October, to honor the veterans who have died on campus. About 100 veterans a year die at the VA, Mills said. Working with numerous groups such as grief and addiction recovery, bereavement support is offered to families as well. 9/11 Remembrance Service and National Day of Prayer. Our next article is entitled Chaplains Help Vets in Various Ways by Mary Wyckoff, Danville. Chaplains at the Veterans Affairs Illiana Health Care System are on call 24 hours a day, whether in person, by phone, or through a computer. A new teleconferencing feature is available to veterans so they can speak with a chaplain from their home. The VA provides a camera that attaches to a computer. If the veteran doesn't have a computer, the VA will provide a tablet. It's all about the veteran, said Thomas Mills, Chief of Chaplain Service. If we can help them live their lives better through technology, it's a good thing. So far, the program doesn't have any users, but Mills hopes to spread the word. A veteran who thinks he or she might need spiritual guidance via computer needs to start with his local provider or primary care team. The provider will make arrangements through the VA's televideo health department and set up the equipment. Then the veteran and chaplain can talk face-to-face over the computer and address any spiritual concerns that the veteran might have. This is helpful to veterans who live a distance from the Danville VA, such as those served by the outpatient clinics in Peoria, Bloomington, Decatur, Mattoon, and Springfield. The ministers on staff at the VA are Mills, Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee branch, Ron Zimmer, United Church of Christ, and Brian Manigold, United Methodist, all full-time, Lale Dixon, Free Methodist, part-time, and Lorenzo Bolden, Baptist, weekends and palliative care. A Catholic priest, the Reverend Dush Dite Bayohamge, known as Father Deuce, is paid to say Mass on Sundays and is on call to provide rites and services, such as anointing of the sick. He also serves at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center. Each vet unique. Not just anyone can wander in and start ministering to the veterans. The chaplains must hold a minimum of a Master of Divinity, have taken at least 800 hours of clinical pastoral training, and be endorsed by a denomination that's recognized by the VA. The chaplains are not allowed to evangelize to the veterans and staff, and they protect veterans from others who try to do so. It's about the patient, it's not about us, Mills said. He can't share his own views, for example, unless a veteran asks a direct question. The chaplains are mandated to provide spiritual care plans to veterans on palliative care in acute mental health, long-term care, and residential. They will draw up plans, like a doctor would do, to address a veteran's spiritual needs, such as seeing a chaplain twice a week or addressing certain issues. Then, reassessments must be done after a certain period of time. A veteran must be able to give consent to receive care from a chaplain. Some are atheists, and some prefer to work with their own ministers or pastors. Each veteran's spiritual care is unique, Manigold said. The chaplains have come across Wiccans, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Jews, Zen Buddhists, and others. The most common are Church of Latter-day Saints and Jehovah's Witnesses, followed by Muslims. Members of those groups often like to speak with their own clergy or representatives, and the chaplains will call someone using a list of religious groups in the area. The VA has a good relationship with the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center in Champaign. We're not just here for Christians, Mills said. Historic sites. The two chapels, dedicated in 1901, are listed on the National Park Service Registry of Historic Places. The VA Chaplain Service was formed in 1945. The Catholic Chapel, which contains the Blessed Sacrament, has a crucifix and other religious symbols on view. The Veterans Chapel, which used to be known as the Protestant Chapel, has been neutralized, which means that any faith may use it. Thus, Christian symbols are put away when not in use. There's a single kneeler for those who prefer that method of worship. We have to meet the needs of every veteran, Mills said. There's also a room in Building 98 that has been converted into a chapel for use by veterans and staff. God's Call. Manigold, a native of Grand Ridge, has been with the VA Chaplain Service for almost 8 years. He has served as pastor at churches in Illinois for 26 years, most recently in Carbondale. As a chaplain, he doesn't have to worry about administrative issues. That's Mill's job, he noted with a smile, which he did as a pastor. I get to do more face-to-face and provide spiritual care, he said. He also likes to listen to the veterans' stories. I'm very thankful to be here, he said. Dixon, a native of Canvas, came to the area in 1972 and served 26 years as a pastor in Indiana. He knew someone who had been through clinical pastoral education and decided to make the transition in 1993. He came to Danville in 1995 and was chaplain at United Samaritans Medical Center for 12 years. This is God's call, he said. We get to touch so many people that the church never touches. For example, during the Vietnam War era, some churches had difficulty assimilating the veterans who returned. A lot of veterans had a negative response to that. Some of those vets believe in God and still pray, but they've never had people around them who supported them in their religious life. Mills is one of three veterans on the chaplain staff. He served 21 years in the Air Force. Bolden was in the Air Force and Zimmer served in the Navy. Mills said, it was like coming home to my own people, being able to connect with the veterans and helping them on their journey. When he tells a veteran, I've been there, done that, got the video, the vets feel a connection. Mills came to Illiana as a clinical chaplain in 2007 and was acting chief from 2010 to 2013. Dixon said being a VA chaplain has caused him to be aware of veterans and their needs. Manigault said his wife is a veteran, and family members have served, so he understands the needs as well. The chaplain service is not allowed to promote itself through a website or social media. Rather, Mills tries to keep medical providers aware of the department's services and through word of mouth. Our next article is entitled Illinois Hemp Bill May Benefit Medical Marijuana Industry, from the Associated Press, Springfield. A bill in the Illinois General Assembly that would allow hemp to be grown legally in the state could mark a major shift for medical marijuana growers if approved. The pending legislation could help medical marijuana growers increase their relatively small pool of 25,000 certified users to the general public. Medical Cannabis Alliance of Illinois Chairman Ross Morial told the Chicago Tribune. Advocates of the bill said it could also address a lack of regulation of hemp by subjecting the cannabis plant to the same testing for potency and pesticides as medical marijuana in Illinois. The bill's opponents are generally those who also oppose medical marijuana. Kevin Sabat, a former White House drug policy advisor, is president of Smart Approaches to Marijuana, which opposes marijuana legalization. He said hemp is a minor concern, but he opposes state programs to legalize it if it's just a stalking horse for marijuana. In the 2 years since medical marijuana appeared in Illinois, the hemp industry has thrived. With medical marijuana, growers and dispensaries are heavily regulated. Patients require a doctor's prescription and a background check, and only those with certain approved medical conditions are granted access. But adults can buy and sell hemp-based products that include e-cigarettes and massage oils used to soothe ailments such as insomnia and inflammation. While hemp is similar to marijuana, manufacturers say it has little or no THC, the component that gets users stoned. According to the Hemp Business Journal, revenue from products containing hemp increased 30% to $262 million nationwide in 2016. If projected, that figure to increase to more than $1 billion by 2020. Our next article is entitled White House Pitches Bill to U.S. Governors, again from the Associated Press, Providence, Rhode Island. The Trump administration is struggling to get support from skeptical U.S. governors for a revised health care bill before the U.S. Senate. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Administrator Seema Verma made their pitch Saturday morning during a closed-door meeting of the bipartisan National Governors Association. Vice President Mike Pence also met several of the governors privately after his public address at the Rhode Island conference on Friday. Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval, one of the bill's most prominent Republican skeptics, said Saturday, "It's unlikely they changed anyone's mind. I'm struggling to validate the numbers that are being presented to me by the administration versus what I'm hearing from independent experts, what I'll likely hear from the Congressional Budget Office, what I'm hearing from back home," Sandoval said after the governor's only meeting. Sandoval has expressed concerns about the legislation's cuts to the Medicaid program for the poor and disabled. His position is important because of the pressure he could place on Nevada's Republican Senator Dean Heller of Nevada, a possible swing vote. With two GOP senators already opposed to the legislation, one more no vote would kill the bill outright in a Senate divided 52-48 between Republicans and Democrats. Sandoval said Senator Heller's his own man, but he's trying to give him the best information about how the legislation would affect their state. He's the United States Senator. At the end of the day, he's the one who pushes the button, Sandoval said. I'm going to inform him about how I feel about the bill. Connecticut Governor Danil said, "I'm struggling to validate the numbers that are being presented to me by the administration." Malloy, chairman of the Democratic Governors Association, said the mood at the Saturday breakfast meeting was tense, and there are a lot of Republican governors who apparently have a neck problem because they were all looking down. Malloy added that a few Republican governors did ask questions. Others said they raised their concerns to the White House in one-on-one meetings. Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker said he had an extensive meeting Friday with Pence and Price, and we're hopeful they're going to get a point where they're going to have a repeal and replace that works. Walker declined to say if he supports the current version. "I haven't read through enough of it yet, so I've still got to look at it," Walker said. "It just came out yesterday." Participants said the meeting with governors included an appeal from Democratic Delaware U.S. Senator Tom Carper, who is a former governor, asking the Trump administration to put the debate on hold and look for a bipartisan solution. The conference's host, Rhode Island Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo, said she didn't think anyone's mind was changed. "If the federal government is trying to save hundreds of billions of dollars, the money's got to come from somewhere, and it either means it's coming from taking health insurance away from people who are now insured under the Medicaid expansion, or it means shifting the financial burden to the states." She said either way, that's bad for Rhode Island and bad for many of the states whose governors were represented at that meeting. Next, we'll turn to our obituaries. The first is for Charles F. Hurd, Jr., 63, went home to be with his Heavenly Father on Tuesday, July 11th, 2017, in the comfort of his own home. A memorial service will commence at noon Tuesday, July 18th, 2017, at Philadelphia Baptist Church, 423 North Bowman Avenue. Officiating Pastor Courtney Watson, Leek and Sons Funeral Home, in charge of arrangements. Next, Bonnie J. Lane, 69, of Danville, passed away on Friday, July 14th, 2017, at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. A visitation will be held for Bonnie on Tuesday, July 18th, 2017, from 10 to 11 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Graveside services will follow at Resurrection Catholic Cemetery at 11:30 a.m. with Father Loftus officiating. Memorials can be made in Bonnie's name to New Focus, 1703 North Bowman, Danville, Illinois, 61832, or Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Next, Adina Rossolilli, 38, of Hoopston, formerly of Chicago, passed away at 5:20 a.m. Friday, July 7th, 2017. Private family funeral services were held at Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston, with burial in Glen Cemetery, Paxton. Memorials may be made in Adina's name to Blurton Funeral Home. Next, Danny Casares, 33, of Decatur, died at 7:52 a.m. Saturday, July 15, 2017, in his residence in Decatur. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. Next, Gregory J. Davis, 67, of Danville, died at 5:50 p.m. Saturday, July 15, 2017, at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, Danville. Next, Eugene Jean Johnson, 89, of Catlin, died at 11:15 p.m. Saturday, July 15, 2017, at home. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Tuesday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, with Ramey Gordon officiating. Burial with military rites by the American Legion Post 210 will be in Sunset Memorial Park, Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Our next article is entitled, A Phone Call to 211 Can Save a Life. Good Sunday morning, everyone. 211. Have you heard those numbers before? Sounds a lot like 911, doesn't it? Well, it's supposed to. United Way brought PATH PATH Crisis 211 to the Danville area to help connect residents to resources more easily. PATH stands for Providing Access to Help, and that's exactly what they have been doing since the 1970s, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anyone can dial 211 or 888-865-9903 if your cell phone carrier doesn't recognize 211 to get help. What kind of help, you ask? For the past year, I have told area residents of how someone in need of financial assistance can call to access resources in their area to help with rent, power, or water bills. It can help someone locate area food pantries or homeless shelters, find daycares or jobs, and so much more. That is what I really thought dialing 211 was, and the reports I get each quarter tell me I'm right. Most calls are for those very reasons. But then a few months ago, I went to a leadership conference, and how I look at PATH Crisis 211 has changed forever. Let me tell you the story we were told. A man and his wife were in a bitter divorce battle that was affecting the whole family. The man had taken a new job an hour away from the family home. He receives a call from a PATH Crisis 211 operator who tells him they have his 16-year-old daughter on the line and she's contemplating suicide. He tells them he is at work, which is now an hour away from the house. They respond for him to get in his car and head home, so he does. An hour later, he arrives at the family home. At this time of day, it's starting to get darker, and he sees no lights in the house. He enters the house. It's quiet. He looks in the living room, the kitchen, and the family room, but doesn't find his daughter. So at this point, he walks ever so reluctantly to his daughter's bedroom. He opens her bedroom door to find her sitting on her bed with his hunting rifle across her legs, still talking to the 211 operator, an hour later. How many lives have we lost in Danville and the surrounding communities to suicides? What if help was as simple as dialing 211? Asking someone if they are having suicidal thoughts is a hard conversation. At PATH, Crisis 211, the operators are trained for this kind of conversation. Please help us spread the word that help is as easy as 211. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sherry M. Askren is president of the United Way of Danville area. Phone 442-3512. Our next article is entitled Sentencing in Firearms Case This Fall by Noel McGee, Danville. A 23-year-old Danville man will likely be heading back to prison for shooting another man while he was on parole. Earlier this week, a Vermilion County jury convicted Antoine M. Hall of aggravated battery, discharge of a firearm, a Class X felony, and aggravated discharge of a firearm, a Class 1 felony in the June 2016 shooting of Derek Mullins, according to State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey. Mullins survived. Hall's sentencing is scheduled for September 11th. Lacey said Hall faces between 6 and 30 years for the more serious charge and between 4 and 15 years for the Class 1 felony. He would be required to serve 85% of his sentence. During Hall's 3-day jury trial, Assistant State's Attorneys Adam Ellican and Scott Ripley presented evidence showing that on June 3, 2016, Hall left his home for a 10-minute period, went to the 700 block of Commercial Street, fired a gun, striking Mullins, then returned home. Hall was on parole and wearing an ankle bracelet when he shot up the area, Lacey said. He fired at not only Derek Mullins, but also other people who were out in the area. Kids were out, she continued. We knew that he was away from his house because the ankle bracelet went off, and he was identified by individuals who were there and also by the victim as being the shooter. Lacey thanked Ellican, Ripley, Danville Police Detective Pat Carley, and Bruce Stark, the police department's evidence handler, for all of their hard work. She also thanked the witnesses who came forward to provide police with information, which she said was essential to the conviction. It's so important for people to come forward to tell the truth, said Lacey, who encouraged more people to do so in other cases. And now we'll turn to Rediscover Danville, Summer Fun for Everyone in Danville This Week, by Carol Nichols, Director, Illinois SBDC, and at DAC. For those who enjoy community theater, the nearby Beef House Dinner Theater in Covington is offering Disaster, a musical, with a matinee on Wednesday and Sunday afternoons and evening performances Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. For those of us old enough to remember the disaster movie trend in the 1970s, this farcical musical takes you back to those days through plot and songs. See beefhouserolls.com for more information and tickets. Closer to home, enjoy Till Beth Do Us Part, presented Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m. in Lincoln Park by the Lincoln Park Theater Company. Bring your family, your lawn chairs, a blanket, and a picnic dinner, and enjoy outdoor theater. The show is described as a side-splitting romantic romp, written by the same authors who created last year's Hallelujah Girls. For more information, see the Lincoln Park Theater Company's Facebook page. And the best part, it's free. The group relies on sponsors and other contributions to fund these annual productions, bringing theater to everyone. Danville Light Opera is performing James and the Giant Peach, J.R., to the Danville area. Community College, Bremer Theater Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The children's musical is presented by nearly 36 area young people who are often getting their first taste of the performing arts. DLO's children's musicals have been the first step for many children who will enjoy theater from both sides of the curtain for years to come. Relax in beautiful Kickapoo Park with 2017 Park Bistro Music Wednesdays and Sundays throughout the summer from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Park Bistro offers meals and music by the water. This week, enjoy the Just Peachy Band on Wednesday and the Chrissy Spark Band on Saturday. On Friday night, come down to Temple Plaza for more free music at Ambook's Friday Night with Classic Rock Group. Rediscover the joy of summer in the Danville area this weekend. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for July 17, 2017. Have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.